Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 12, entitled The Killing of the Demon Agasur. Shloka is text number 25. Please repeat after me. Itam
Mito Tatyam Adhyaja Jnana Bhasitam. Itam mito tatyamam atyagnana bhasitam. Shrutva vichintayate amrasa brushayate. Shrutva vichintayate amrasa brushayate. Raksho viditva hikla pruta radestita. Raksho viditva bhuta radestita. Svanam nirodham bhagavan mano dade. Svanam nirodham bhagavan mano dade. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is situated as Antaryami, the Super Soul, in the core of everyone's heart, heard the boys talking amongst themselves about the artificial python. Unknown to them, it was actually Agasur, a demon who had appeared as a python. Krishna, knowing this, wanted to forbid his associates to enter the demon's mouth. No purport. Text 26. Tatva pravrisata tva asuryanna tartham param na gradna sheshva va Savataha Prakrishanayana Bakari Veshanam Hatasvam Anta Smaranayana Rakshasha. In the meantime, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the cowherd boys entered the mouth of the demon. The demon, however, did not swallow them, for he was thinking of his own relatives who had been killed by Krishna and who was just waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth. No purport, text 27. Tan viksha Krishna sakala bhaya prado e anya natham swakarad avyachatam dinanamscha mrityor jagandani ghasyam Granadito Drista Kritana Vishmitaha. Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys who did not know anyone but him as the Lord had now gone out of his hands and were helpless, having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasur. Having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasur, who was death personified, it was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends, the cowherd boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure of what to do. Text 28. Again, there is no purport for 27. Rityam kim asraya khalasya jivanam nava amisam cha satam vimihasanam vayam tatha svayad iti samchintaya natva sita tudam aishegri grahihi. Translation. Now, what was to be done? How could both the killing of this demon and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? Krishna, being unlimitedly potent, decided to wait for an intelligent means by which he could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Then he entered the mouth of Agasur. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is known as Ananta Virya Sarvagnya. Ananta Virya Sarvagnya. Because everything is known to Him. Because He knows perfectly everything well, it was not difficult for Him to find means by which He could save the boys and at the same time kill the demon. Thus, He also decided to enter the demon's mouth. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 28 again. Now, what was to be done? How could both the killing of this demon and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? Krishna, being unlimitedly potent, decided to wait for an intelligent means by which He could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Then He entered the mouth of Agasur. So, we have here this wonderful pastime of Lord Krishna. We understand the divine appearance and divine pastimes of Lord Krishna. Then we go home back to Godhead. 4.9 Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvata chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. Those who understand tattva in substance, in reality, in detail, knowledge, the divine appearance of Lord Krishna and the divine activities of Lord Krishna will certainly go home back to Godhead. Here is an example of one of His divine activities. Is there a small child here talking all the time? Upstairs. Shh. Otherwise you give class. So, this Agasur, first of all, I went to the Sanskrit dictionary, Pune University, Apte's standard dictionary, just like Dr. Johnson, he has written the Oxford English Dictionary. He was a professor at Oxford University. And all the Supreme Courts, High Courts, etc., throughout the world, including the parliaments, including House of Lords in UK, everywhere, except only the meaning given in the Oxford English Dictionary. Of course, in America, they have the Chambers Dictionary, but we go by the Oxford Dictionary. So I referred to both Apte's authoritative Sanskrit Dictionary and Dictionary of Oxford Dictionary. So the Sanskrit meaning of Agha are two. One, Agha means a house. But what type of house? Not just an ordinary house. A house which is burning down. Agha also means incineration. So these are the two meanings of the word Agha. Asur, everybody knows. Asur means somebody who is envious of Vishnu, who does not believe in Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Krishna, and who thinks himself to be the master and controller of all, etc., etc. But Agha is very important. Actually, incineration is usually in a big hospital where dead bodies are put in, and they come out as ash. So Agha's abdomen, as stated earlier, was like fire. It is also stated Agha's eyes were emitting like fire, because everything inside him was burning. Burning with what? Burning with a fire of revenge. Agasur is the personification of somebody who is bent on only one point program, and that is revenge. Revenge for Krishna having killed his beloved, most wonderful sister Putna, and his most beloved elder brother Bakasur. And here was Agasur. He had the chance of trapping Krishna along with all the boys, so that if they get killed, everyone in Vrindavan will be totally demoralized. They wouldn't want to live at all, and therefore they would all commit suicide, and Kansa's program will be totally implemented. So Agasur had that deep-seated attitude of revenge, and he was so angry with Krishna for having killed his kinsman. Krishna knew this, of course, Antaryami. He is even in the heart of Agasur. It says in the core of the heart. So in your heart, there is a core. It says so. Prabhupada says so. So in that core of your heart, there is Paramatma, Antaryami. And next to that Antaryami is you yourself, I myself, in our each one's heart. So the two birds, like green birds in a green thick forest, where you can't see the difference between the leaves and the birds, two green parrots sort of. One is enjoying the fruits, whether they are sweet or sour or bitter or whatever, and the other one is just looking on as an observer. That is Paramatma. At the end of our life, of course, we get to see a film of all the prominent things that we had done, good and bad. And then we ourselves actually are punished for what we have done, and the impious activities. And the pious activities, we get the fruits thereof, karmas. However, the real essence of life is to do a karma. Now here, these friends of Krishna had done mountains of pious activities to become his personal friend. But now they have realized that they are only doing akarma. This is important. They totally depended only on Krishna. They didn't care whether this was a live python or a dead python. They were small children of about 5-6 years old, and they just loved to be adventurous. Here was this huge big snake, 8 kilometers or miles, I'm not sure what it was, miles I think, long. The huge mouth which opened almost to the clouds, and a big tongue rolled out like a reception we go in some weddings with a red carpet. And of course it was a slimy carpet, slippery, but anyway they got in. Having got in, there was no possibility of their getting out. But they knew that there was Krishna, and he will do whatever is necessary. Their total 100% faith, and they had surrendered 100% to Krishna. 18.66. Sarva dharma parityagam mamekam sharanam vraja am tvam sarva papebhyo mokshasyami masuchah. This was already the activities of these children, that they had totally surrendered to Krishna. Krishna never let them down so far. And so they had full faith that he'll never let them down in future also. And therefore, they had total surrender to Krishna. Now let's understand about this Asur, Agasur. Actually, it's very interesting that Agasur was, in his previous life, the son of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya had a very, very beautiful son. That was this Aga. He was so handsome. He was like a Kamdev himself. So when he went, women would faint by just looking at him. They would think, oh, such a beautiful young man, handsome young man. I wish he was my husband. Not now, when he was a python, but at that time, in his earlier life. And he was strong also. He was young also. He had beautiful hair. He had beautiful muscles. And his gait of walking was like that of a young elephant. So this Aga, in his previous life, was going here and there, everywhere. And he then went up the hills where that is called Malaya Hills. Now in this Malaya Hills, there is one speciality. There is tremendous, beautiful smell of, anybody knows? Sandalwood. So this Aga wanted to enjoy the wonderful sandalwood. And he was going all over the place. It so happened that a great Muni was staying there. And lo and behold, the Muni was none other than Ashtavakra. Do you know Ashtavakra had not one straight bone in his body? The poor guy was totally bent like a snake. But he was a divine soul in the sense he was a devotee of the Lord, brilliant, most intelligent. But unfortunately, he was the opposite of this Shankarchuda's son, very ugly. So here was the most handsome person on earth walking around and accosts this most hideous looking Muni called Ashtavakra. And what happens? Shankarchuda's son starts laughing haughtily in a disgusting manner, belittling this horrible looking creature. Little realizing that this was a very learned, great devotee of the Lord, Muni. And the Muni gets very upset. The Muni then looks at him and he says, "Oh, Shankarchuda's putra, you're so haughty. And just because I happen to be so ugly, you become very ugly, become like a snake in your next life, a big python which will emit only fumes of horrible, disgusting odor, and there'll be fire in your stomach and eyes at all times." That is the story of Agasur and how Agasur got this form of python. What does this mean to us? We should never judge a person by his external looks. Because after all, the body is not permanent. It is a soul which is permanent. I remember when we used to meet Srila Prabhupada, even on the first day I observed in 1971, March, end of March, Prabhupada had an X-ray vision. Believe me, it was an X-ray vision. He could see right through and through all of us. And he would know what is in the core of our hearts because he was a Saktavesh avatar. There is no doubt in my mind. Having fought Prabhupada for 4 years as a Mayavadi, I could make out at the end that here is a person whom we should not mess around with. He was perfect. There was no flaw in Prabhupada's books. They were just perfect in every manner. There was nothing wrong in any of his statements. And therefore, we surrendered to him. But not Agasur. This boy did not surrender to Ashtavakra. But he, in fact, accepted the curse. He said, "But please, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I have a great Muni like you. I have disgustingly and haughtily." What is the opposite of being humble? Being haughty, right? So he was 100% not humble. And therefore, when you are not humble, you can have a Agasur body very easily. Because somebody or the other you are going to cross with. And that's where you are going to get in trouble. So humbleness is the first step of not getting involved with any bad future. So he said, "Okay, my curse cannot be removed. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself will give you liberation." So, three things. Krishna had to get these friends of his out of the mouth of Agasur and his stomach. he himself had to kill this Agasur, and because Ashtavakra had said that you will get liberation, mukti, I have to give liberation. So all three things Krishna performed simultaneously. We cannot do that. Nobody can do that. Correct? So this is the best part about Krishna. He can do so many things simultaneously that we just are in total bewilderment. Achintaya. We cannot even conceive. Achintaya Veda Veda Tattva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. It's not possible for human beings with how many ounces of brain, I don't know. Any doctors here? They might have weighed the brains of human beings. Dead human beings at least. So they've kept Einstein's brain in Princeton University, thinking that someday somebody will be able to decode all his DNAs and RNAs in his brain. So the thing is that the human brain or the human intelligence is unable to conceive the total potency of Lord Krishna, which is unlimited, as stated here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the first part of today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Agasur, as we said, was a very great demon, one of the greatest demons, and a very great pet of Kans. Kans had total faith in him. Kans says earlier, Agasur, remember, I mean, he was instigating him. Remember how Krishna killed your beloved sister and your beloved brother. Now do everything possible to see that Krishna is totally killed, smashed, finished. And a python can easily do that. Once the python gets, incidentally, when I was in the Amazon forest in South America, I had a great interest in catching an anaconda. So I had seen a movie called Anaconda. So I said, what are these anacondas like? So I asked the guide, and the guide looked at me as if I had come from moon or Mars. He said, you sure? I said, yes. He said, okay, I'll show you anaconda. So then we went in this motorboat, huge river, this the world's largest volume of water. All the rivers, I'm told, of USA, if you collect all the volume of water, is equal to the volume of Amazon alone. So you can imagine, it's a very wide river. And for about 100 kilometers in the ocean, because the Amazon River's water is so clean and it's alkaline, it goes all the way up to 100 kilometers. So even in the ocean, that side is the Atlantic Ocean. Is it Atlantic? Yes, Atlantic Ocean. You get sweet water. Can you imagine? It's so powerful, this river. So in this river is this huge python called anaconda. Okay. So this guy, he told me, the guide, that see that house over there? They have a pet baby anaconda. I said, babies will do. I'm not interested in the mother or the father. At least I can say that we've touched this anaconda python. Because I've never seen a python in my life. Having read this about this Agasur, I said, let us see physically, actually, what a python looks like, even in the baby form. So we went there, and this fellow spoke something in Portuguese, because that's the language of Brazil. And then we entered into these people's home, and they brought out this massive anaconda, which coils round and round and round. And they wanted to demonstrate. I said, no, please don't kill that animal. They said, but that's going to be our lunch. So we are going to, in any case, kill that animal. I said, that you do later, whatever you want to do. But why you want to kill this animal for nothing? He said, but the anaconda always kills animals, and we don't have a butcher in this village. So we use the anaconda to crush a mince meter hota hai na. So mince meat ho jata uska. So it was so atrocious. But anyway, I touched this anaconda once in my life. And I said, it is cold. She said, yes. Because the blood of the python is not hot. It is very cold. Then it occurred to me, why there is a fire inside this fellow's stomach, Agasur, and in his eyes. when he's cold-blooded. So this is again achintaya. Krishna wanted to get into a nice, cool atmosphere of Agasura's body, though Agasura himself was burning with fire of revenge. Anyway, one should study these things very carefully because it gives us the three enlightenments. Number one, Krishna can do whatever he wants. Nobody can stop him, number one. Number two, Krishna has such huge number of potencies that any enemy of Krishna cannot kill him. It's not possible. It's not possible. They've tried over and over again in various forms. And the third most important thing is that Krishna is so merciful that even if somebody tries to kill him, really in great concentration, like Kans and this Agasura, and there were so many incidences of Putna, for instance, Krishna gives them liberation. Why? Because Krishna is very, very merciful. He says, at least they were thinking of me. At the last moment of their life, they were thinking of me. Therefore, I am bound to give them liberation. But we are not interested in joining with all these Agasuras and Putnas and so on in liberation. Because that is the company we'll have. So instead of that, we'd rather have company of devotees. And that is why Lord Chaitanya kept on saying that the greatest boon, I'll come to this in a minute, the greatest boon is having association of devotees. If you are constantly in touch with devotees, constantly in association of devotees, it is far beyond mukti. And therefore, you will benefit a lot if you constantly associate with devotees. So what happened was that in August, I got this message from Bhakti Churu Maharaj that we are going to have over 200 devotees. Precisely, it was 226 devotees who were going to go on a cruise on a ship, huge ship, which had 11 floors and 12th floor was the terrace deck, they call it, 12th deck. Nadji, Srinadji, of course, because of my earlier initiated name was Nadji. Some people call me Nadji, some call me Srinadji. You must join this cruise. I said to my wife that we've got instructions from Bhakti Charu Maharaj to join this cruise. But what will happen in a cruise? I wondered, you know. So I was very keen to know. So I said, okay, Maharaj, I'll come. Who else is coming? And lo and behold, the list was so beautiful, wonderful, that there was no option. It was somewhat like that Godfather thing, you know. What was that famous sentence Godfather said? I make an offer which you can never reject. So this was the offer. He said to in reply, there will be your Guru Maharaj, Radhanath Swami there. That itself was enough. Then there will be Satchinanand Maharaj from Germany. There will be Chandramouli Maharaj. There will be Bhakti Purushottam Swami, our friend. There will be Yaduvara Prabhuji. There will be Malti Mataji. So seven of the top devotees whom we respect so much will be there. So what will we do, Maharaj, over there? That was an email, you know, keep on exchanging. So he says, from 5 a.m., to 10:15 p.m., there'll be chanting, there'll be singing, that means sankirtan, there'll be lectures, lots and lots of prasadam cooked by the wonderful devotees of London, the ladies, and under their supervision. So I told my wife, I'm definitely going. Unfortunately, my wife was, after having booked, she said, no, this Purushottam month. I am for 40 years doing this year business here, so I'll remain. You go. All right. So I trotted off and I was in Amsterdam. Are you all ready for a cruise? Okay, here we go. So Bombay to Amsterdam. Amsterdam airport is called Schiphol Airport. From Schiphol Airport, in half an hour you reach, just like our Ballard Pier, you know, there's a pier where all these big, big ships line up. So they have several of them, because the Dutch have huge number of ports, including Rotterdam, one of the world's biggest ports. And this magnificent ship called MSC Opera, Italian ownership, was anchored there, white-colored ship, 56,000 tons capacity, 11 floors plus one deck, had three swimming pools, including jacuzzis. It was like a heavenly planet. I mentioned this earlier once, have I not? That a cruise is just like a small heavenly planet where you can get lost, where you can forget Krishna, you can forget everyone. That's what happens to some of these great devatas. That's why they wish to come down to this earth, not to the cruise ships, because then again they are in the same place, but they want to come to association of devotees. Now here was the best of both worlds. You are already in a heavenly planet and with the association of devotees, and that too with such senior people, and that too with our beloved Radhanath Maharaj. So it was a wonderful association, I thought. So I went in, not that I was entering Agasur's mouth, because I was entering into this cruise ship with the devotees. So when we reached there, I inquired, what is our program? What do we do? So I was told that first 2 days will be spent only in glorifying Prabhupada. The next 2 days, that means the third day and the fourth day, will be in only glorifying Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes. And the fifth and sixth day, only glorifying Lord Krishna and his pastimes. I said, perfect, very well balanced. So here we go. On the first day, the timings were 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. So you had to get up at about 4:30. So 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. was japa. 6 a.m. to 6:30 was Guru Puja and, of course, greeting the deities. Deities were Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Prabhupada's deity. They had given us a separate big hall, beautiful hall, very well decorated, which was exclusively available to us. But they knew that we'd make a lot of noise on Kirtan, and that too 5 in the morning or 6 o'clock when most of them are asleep. So it was at the way end of the ship. The ships are so long that if you walk 3 times in a day, one end to the other, it's like walking 4 kilometers. So it's a huge thing, you know. So then we were at this end of the ship, and I was surprised when I reached there. All the devotees were there. Many of them were coming with me. Some of them, little after, we were doing our japa in the morning. And then there was this greeting the deities, just like in our regular temples. Guru Puja, just like in our regular temple service. And then from 6:30 to 8:15, means 1 hour, 45 minutes, there was a morning class. The first morning class, glorifying Srila Prabhupada, was given by Yadubara Prabhu. Yadubara Prabhu had brought his famous DVDs, which had shown Prabhupada right from day one, entering into New York and then San Francisco, Rath Yatra, and so on and so forth. So we had this glorious, wonderful vision of having Prabhupada actually take over the whole city of Surat. We could see that. And Yadubara at that time explained that he was doing his master's degree, MSc, in photography at the institute, and what is the name of the institute? It's a very famous institute, Rochester Institute, Rochester, in USA. It's, I think, in northern part of New York State. Any Americans here? You're American? No. You don't know the geography. Okay. Anyway, I know that it is somewhere in the north of New York State. And there he met, of course, this wonderful, beautiful young lady also, who was also doing a master's degree, that happened to be future wife called Vishakha Mataji. So the two of them teamed up and they decided to do a project that converted them from material photographers to spiritual photographers. They had heard about this Hare Krishna movement taking place in the 60s in New York. So they said, let us do a project on them, with no desire to join them, just to be an observer and taking photographs and making a film of what they are doing. In the process, the lady, that is the young girlfriend of Yadubara, this was Yadubara's words, she got more attached to Prabhupada. Because usually, Prabhupada says, women's hearts are softer than men's. Men's are usually very hard-hearted. That's why they get a body also like hard-hearted. So, the young lady became, she said, where will you be going next? So, she was already thinking of the next project. So, he said, why don't you come to India? So, she said, yes, I'll come. So, this Yadubara said, why are we going there? This project will get over here in New York. We submit the project, get our master's degree. That's like a thesis, you see. And that's it. She said, no, I'm going. If you want to come, come. Otherwise, I'll leave you. So, you know how it is. Man proposes, woman disposes. So, here, poor fellow, he got dragged by his nose like a bull and into Surat. And he was aghast because the whole city of Surat was fully decorated and thousands and millions, I'm not talking about lakhs, million, I think Surat has more than a million population, were all there on windows, in tops of the houses. What we read in about Krishna going through Mathura, you know, when he enters with Balram and his friends. Similar thing happened in Surat. And he had a great time filming all this. Then he started thinking, Yadubara says, that if so many people have so much respect for Prabhupada, there must be something about that gentleman. So let me do a project on him. Earlier it was a project on Hare Krishna movement, which is like impersonal, right? But once you talk of a person, you get attached to that person, provided he is attractive. Just like an iron, the example given by on that day was by Radhanath Maharaj, because he was the next speaker, next day. I'm already going back and forth, if you don't mind. Because as thoughts come to me, I'll disclose. So Radhanath Maharaj says, Krishna is like a fantastic, very, very powerful magnet. Okay, all attractive. But we, means our soul, is so tiny, 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair. But it gets covered with layers upon layers upon layers upon layers, 6 layers of kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa. It's like rust on iron. Even if you bring that particle, supposing this is the magnet, there is a magnet actually, I know that, inside. Now if you bring this iron particle very, very close, it has no attraction. Why? Because it has all this rust around it. So the magnetic, electrical engineer? What is it called? Electromagnetic waves, right? So, you remember the formula or you forgot? Okay, so the magnetic force, when it comes in contact with the electrical force, there is a certain pull, correct? You just put a magnet and put an iron piece, you'll feel your hand being pulled towards it. But if there's rust on that iron, nothing will happen, it just drop. So, we are like that in the beginning, because we so much generation after generation, lifetime after lifetime, we've collected all these rust particles. Who said? Radhanath Maharaj said. And this can only be removed by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
there is a filing. In our engineering words, when you have a rusty piece of metal, you have to file it. Filing means another metal is there, which is tougher, alloy, which has got a zigzag shape on it. And when you do this scrubbing, all the rust is removed, isn't it? Now, very often we've seen when you do this, sparks come out. That happens to some of the devotees. Because I'm now going to talk about the next gentleman who spoke was Bhakti Purushottam Swami. He said that there are three types of devotees. I'm going back and forth, if you don't mind. So he said, in this world, there are three types of devotees. First, there are devotees who are like firecrackers. They are like rockets. You know, in Diwali, we have these firecrackers, and zoom, it goes up. And within a very short time, the gunpowder is finished, and the damn thing falls down. He says that is exactly what happens to some of the devotees I've seen. They come in with great enthusiasm. They dance like ecstasy and madness. Within a month or two, they start condemning everything and everyone, and then they run away back to square zero. So that's one type of devotee. Then the second type of devotee, he says, they will do whatever the guru says. They'll just forget, put the brains in the refrigerator, and they'll just strictly follow what the guru says. And so supposing the situation has changed a little bit here or there, still they'll make the same mistake. They are known as donkey disciples. Because they are just like donkeys. They just go, you know, his guru says go in that direction, he'll go. If there's a river there, they'll go in the river also. So he gave that example. The third type of disciple, he says, are those who understand the guru's instruction very clearly, who read the shastras very carefully, and they will do the best spiritually right thing at all times and do the best service they can. So they are the three type of devotees. Coming back to our photography expert, Yadubara. So Yadubara Prabhu said that by submitting these projects, he therefore got a chance to preach. Because in their institute, a lot of students would gather, and each student would present their project, and teachers would grade them on the project, and the other students would understand what their colleagues had done. So when their project was on the Hare Krishna movement first, and then the Surat one, many others got influenced. You see, because they were wondering, my God, this Prabhupada seems to be a fantastic personality. Let's go and hear him. Let's go and see him. So in that sense, it became a preaching movement. Incidentally, Malti Mataji came next, and she said that right in the beginning, as you all know, Malti Mataji was one of the first lady devotees in our movement. And she said that when in San Francisco, they had booked a hall called Avalon Ballroom Hall, A-V-A-L-O-N, Avalon Ballroom Hall, where there used to be rock dancing. Now, just imagine a pure devotee of the Lord, sadhu, coming from Vrindavan, of all places, going into a pure rock dance ballroom hall to preach. But Prabhupada said, Rupa Goswami says, use every means, everything in the service of the Lord. This whole material world is available to us. There was a lot of criticism, mind you, from many of Prabhupada's own god brothers. That what are you doing? How can you associate with people who are taking drugs and who have breaking all four regulative principles regularly? So this is not to be done. I mean, they are not sadhus, they are not Vaishnavas. You should not associate with them. But Prabhupada was more merciful by associating these young people with the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. So she said that we couldn't understand anything, this Maltipataji said. We didn't know anything about Vedic culture. We didn't know anything about anything. We only knew what we were told about drugs and about, you know, expanding our consciousness by taking all sorts of things. But then we realized that Prabhupada had a perfect solution to all our problems. Now this is some great realization, that Prabhupada had perfect solutions to all their problems, whatever they be. This was one of the greatness of Prabhupada. So they are all praising Prabhupada in the first 2 days. So they are preparing your, like a farmer prepares the ground, you know, before his field, plowing it, putting fertilizer, etc. So that it becomes nice and soft and has a lot of nutrients. Then you plant the seed. So planting the seed is done by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The preparation was done by Lord, by Srila Prabhupada. So the first 2 days went in fantastic ecstasy, because Malati Mataji also showed us that compared to some of the hellish places which they were living in, compared to some of the hellish places they were living in that part of the San Francisco, and correspondingly in New York, there was Bowery area, drunkards and all, where Prabhupada went. She was saying, this beautiful ship is like a heavenly planet. Everyone, one by one, everyone said these luxury liners like heavenly planets. But the benefit we had was, we could experience, now here it comes. Are you all prepared? We could experience Yogamaya. First time in my life, I could understand the value and the proximity of Yogamaya and Mahamaya. It's a very fine line. Yogamaya gives you a shell covering, just like an egg has a shell. And whatever is inside is inside, and what is outside is outside. There's no mixing of the two. Similarly, we could feel that out of 2,000 passengers, there were 2,000 passengers, we were 226. There were 1,000 people serving these 2,000 passengers. You follow? So the ship had 3,000 people on it. It's like a small town. And we could feel that those who were swimming around in swimming trunks and all that, you know, we could see them, but we could not get affected by them in any way. Yogamaya has that potency. The devotee is then totally protected. Devotee feels it's like an invisible wall which protects you from the material world. You are in the material world. You are in the most sort of luxurious material world. But that luxury does not affect us. We are totally protected. So she said, Malati Mataji, that we were in such a bad position of with all sorts of smoking, drinking, drugs, etc. Of course, they were sharing women and all that nonsense. And all this nonsense was going on, and here comes a pure devotee of the Lord from Vrindavan. And Prabhupada's level of tolerance, her main point was, he could tolerate anything for Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sake. It was impossible for her to imagine now, means she's now been, what, nearly 60 years, 55 years with Prabhupada's movement, that she could not tolerate today, if she had to go and meet such type of people. But Prabhupada, at this ripe old age of 70, could totally tolerate all these young people doing all this nonsense. He could only see that they were potential devotees. They were not devotees. There was not a spark of devotion in them. But they were potential devotees. That means he had the vision to see the future. So this was her realization of Srila Prabhupada. And gradually, as you know, if you read Prabhupada Lilamrat, gradually, these devotees learn how to wear saris, dhotis, tilak, how to bathe nicely. He even taught them how to bathe. Can you imagine? He even taught them how to use the toilet. He had taught them how to cook. He taught them everything as if they are newborn babies. So that is what Malati Mataji was saying. Bhakti Charuswami said a very important statement. He said, bad habits are formed with bad company and bad environment. So if you avoid bad company and bad environment, you will not form bad habits. Because a man or a woman has a spiritual fall down because of bad company or bad environment. So avoid these two if you want to avoid getting spiritually deflated. Because spiritual, when you expand your spiritual potency, each one of us, we have come initially with no potency, nothing spiritual. But gradually the material potency goes down and the spiritual potency goes up. Now, if you want to neutralize that spiritual potency, you just go to bad company and bad environment. Now here it is. He says the easiest way, bad environment, is to go to cinema halls, watch TV, go to restaurants where they serve meat and liquor, etc. Or as Prabhupada used to say, old men go to nightclubs in Paris. So all these sort of things are bad environment. He then says that in his experience, it takes 40 days. Bhakti Charu Maharaj was our spiritual captain of the ship, of that part of the ship. We all gave him that title because he organized the whole thing, he and his disciples. And he said that it takes, his experience over these decades is that in 40 days, the spark or the seed of Bhakti Lata Peach can be sown. In those 40 days, the first 40 days are very crucial. If the new person comes in a good environment, like this one here in the temple, associates with devotees, eats prasadam, attends Mangalarti, attends Bhagavatam class, chants his japas properly, serves the devotees, serves the spiritual master, then in 40 days, there is a good chance that roots will develop which will make him fixed in Krishna consciousness. But those roots will be finished if the weeds are also planted of bad association and bad environment. Then Bhakti Charu Maharaj said in one of the questions, because there was a question-answer period after the lectures in each case, so somebody asked Maharaj, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita at several places, I think there are four places, you may be knowing better, Sarvasya Bhuteshu Am Brad Bid Pita. I am the seed-giving father, Krishna says. So what about the mother? Good question, very good question. So he answers that every soul has Krishna only as a father. There's no option. There's no alternate. And every soul has Vedas as the mother. So Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So he's the cause. Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause. And just like a seed is planted in Mother Earth, Bhumi, and then Mother Earth gives the nourishment, etc. Just as a seed is planted in the womb of a married woman and she develops a child. Similarly, the seed is planted by Krishna because he says, Sarva Bhuteshu Am Bharat Bij Pita. Bij means seed. Krishna is Bij Pita. And he plants it in the mother of knowledge. Knowledge is Mataji Saraswati. Knowledge. Okay? So there are things We think we have been associating with Krishna consciousness for 40 years. But believe me, by associating with these senior devotees, by being totally engrossed from 5 o'clock in the morning to 10:15 at night, only eating Krishna prasad, I've not come to the best part yet. It's going to come. So, by associating in this way, we were totally engrossed in Krishna consciousness, though we were in the heavenly ship. Okay? So it's possible. That's possible. And we have done it. By the mercy of Bhakti Charu Maharaj. In Kali Yuga, Lord's energy is Krishna Katha and Sankirtan. Bhakti Charu Maharaj said that in Kali Yuga, Krishna's potency and energy, just like in a battery, he gives the example. Because on the ship, there are lovely, lovely chandeliers. Much, much better than even in palaces I have seen. The decorations are so beautiful. I mean, all gold-plated everywhere. He says, all this is possible by energy. But in Kali Yuga, Krishna's energy is Krishna Katha and Sankirtan. These Sankirtan, when heard, sung and glorified, cleanses the soul, and then we can go home back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya says this in Chaitan Bhagavat. So in Chaitan Bhagavat, he quote, everybody used to quote from the reference to context. So here we are doing Krishna Katha, and we had some Sankirtan, and we can have more of it. So it's like charging the batteries. See, like nickel cadmium battery is rechargeable. So the soul is rechargeable. Because soul is an energy. It energizes the whole body. The moment the soul leaves this body, the body is dead. It cannot move at all. Nothing can happen to the body. Now, two other things that were discussed were how the soul goes home back to Godhead. Because every time we read going home back to Godhead, this magazine is also called Home Back to Godhead, right? Now, how do we go home back to Godhead? On the ship, we knew where we were going because there was a map and we were going here, there, everywhere. But how do you go there? Go home back to Godhead. So the answer given was that the soul rises, as we said, by association of devotees and following the four regulative principles, etc., etc., up to the Vaikuntha planet. Now, here's the point. You can cross the Viraja River and go to the other side, up to the Vaikuntha planet. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, once you have come to my dham, in Goloka Vrindavan, then you shall not fall down. But from Vaikuntha planet, you can fall down. From Vaikuntha planet, you can desire to go to Vrindavan. And from Vrindavan, then you can go home to Goloka Vrindavan. So, Vaikuntha planet is a stop. Just like in a junction, when you have to change trains. So, Vaikuntha planet is not a destination we should think of. Final destination. Our final destination is going home back to Godhead, to Krishna Lok, to the highest planet, that is Goloka Vrindavan. Because that's offered to us by Prabhupada. Nobody had offered this. No, we were talking about great saintly persons like Vivekananda and so on, going all over the world preaching, you see. But none of them offered Goloka Vrindavan. And how to get to Goloka Vrindavan? Why? Because once you go up to Vaikuntha planet, you have to come down again to Vrindavan. Either this Vrindavan in this earthly planet or wherever Krishna's Leela is taking place. In any of the universes. Any part of this huge cosmic manifestation. You have to enter there. You have to get trained up. And then only you can go home back to Godhead to Goloka Vrindavan. And from Goloka Vrindavan, you do not fall down. Is that clear now? Okay. So this is something we learned there. Before we can meet Krishna, we have to meet Krishna Nam. It's like Supposing you want to meet the president of India, say, for whatever reason. Okay, now it happens to be Pranab Mukherjee. Okay. But first you should know his name, no, clearly. And even if you chant Pranab Mukherjee, Pranab Mukherjee, Pranab Mukherjee, 16 rounds, 108 times one round, you're not going to see it. Because he doesn't have that communication. He doesn't have the link. Whereas Krishna has that communication with you. There is, this is direct dialing straight away with him. So this is the thing which we learnt over there. This is the first introduction to pure Krishna consciousness is by chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the first introduction, like sending your card, you know. If you want to meet somebody in an office, you have to give the card to a peon. That peon will carry the card inside the cabin. So what happens, Prabhupada said, I am just a postman. I am only carrying the back and forth, the cards or the letters or the whatever, message. So actually, he's being humble. He's not just a postman. He is actually Shakta Veshavatar. Satchidanand Maharaj then gave a very wonderful way how to improve our chanting. Because all of us are chanting for, some of us for years together. But being I found these Germans, you know, they are very practical people. They make some of the best cars in the world, for instance. I like cars. So I've seen their cars are just out of this world. Of course, in an accident, you can go also out of this world. But whether it's a German car or any car, but the fact of the matter is that Satchidanand Maharaj explained to us how to improve our chanting. Because it's clear that by chanting, we purify the soul simultaneously, because there's achinta beda beda tattva. Krishna does everything simultaneously. We just discussed it early in the morning with this Bhagavatam class. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, your soul gets cleaned up, number one. Number two, you attract Krishna, which is most important. Number three, here's the point. We attract Radharani. We are now coming to the best part. So, when you chant, you should emphasize loudly the first two words. Hare Krishna, everybody.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Re, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Re. The first two are most important. Hare, that is Radharani. Please take us to Krishna. Please put us in the service of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Lower. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is the chant, proper chanting. People have told us chant this Maha Mantra. We've started chanting the Maha Mantra. It's like going to school, you know. Everybody tells us when we're little kids, you know. Kindergarten, school or whatever. They tell us, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this. But how to get the maximum result? 100%. Perfect chanting. We learn from Satchidanand Maharaj. Because he's written a book on that. How to chant perfectly. Because he has done a lot of study. Talked to so many senior devotees, not only in ISKCON, but other God brothers of Prabhupada and so on and so forth, and learn from them how most effective efficiency can come in chanting. So we had how to improve our quality of chanting. That was another session that took place over there. Are you all with me? Is it all right? Okay. Then comes the best part, Radharani part. There's still more. It's deeper and deeper, and it's like sugarcane juice, you know. Becomes candy, you know, gradually. So I'll come to the final candy last. Because I'm given time up to 10 o'clock, no? Where is that thing? Chalega? Yeah, I can go beyond this. Because my time is already getting up. Okay. I've got a lot of material. 7 days material I have to give you in 1 hour, 2 hours. Anyway. So there are three types of bliss. In one of the classes I learnt. This is the first time I heard this. After so many years. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Anand is bliss. Sat is eternal truth. Okay? And eternal truth personified is Krishna. That is the Sat portion. Chit is eternal knowledge. We already discussed about eternal knowledge. Now we are coming to the best part, the bliss part, the Anand part. There are three types of bliss, Ananda, that was discussed. So, C notes. No, I have to see. I was writing my notes. It's written here, C notes. So I have to see the notes. So I wrote, first type and the highest form of Anand is in Golok Vrindavan, bliss. Now I'm going to give you a sample. You know, like you go to some of these wonderful restaurants, they give you a small sample to start with. If you like this, then you can have the whole pizza. You know, that big thing. You know. So a little sample will come to you now of Golok Vrindavan, bliss. These devotees, these great devotees who were with Krishna, these boys and girls also, gopis and so on, they were experiencing 24-hour bliss. That's the highest form of bliss, where you experience 24 hours. Though in spiritual world, people say that there is no time. That's not true. Time is absent by its consequence of action. Just repeat that, please. In the spiritual world, time is absent by its consequence of no action. There is no reaction in the spiritual world. There is nothing that happens to you by time. Here in this material world, what happens to you by material time? You get old. By material time, you get disease. By material time, you get born also after 7-9 months in the womb of the mother. Everything is happening by time in this material world. But in the spiritual world, time is there. But it is not acting or reacting with you. Okay? Did you know this? Yes. You knew it. Very good. You've been to the spiritual world, that means. Very nice. So, these 24 hours means constantly, non-stop, there is bliss. In the highest form of bliss. There are three types of bliss mentioned to us during the lectures. I learnt. The highest form of bliss, Anand, is constant, non-stop bliss, which is only available in Golok Vrindavan. One of them is this. That's why these boys, they're just going into Agasur, they're going anywhere. Krishna is going to be there with us. So, koi baat nahi hai. Kaliya ho ya uska baap ho. We are there with Krishna. That's enough for us. So they experience bliss, but they don't try to locate the source. That's important. Bhakti Charu Maharaj says that they are not interested at all that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are not interested to know where the source of that bliss is. Bliss mil gaya hai. Bahut ho gaya. Why we want to worry? Kahan se aaya, kidhar gaya? Kitna kharcha hua? Milte jata hai. See, when the child is born in a rich family, he is not at all interested how his father works, where he gets his income from. His fees are automatically paid in school. His clothes are automatically bought. His food is automatically given by the mother on the plate, on the dining table. Everything happens, you know, automatically sort of. Cars come, teachers come, this comes, that comes. These days, too many teachers. But whatever. So, that is what happens in Golok Vrindavan. Okay? In Golok Vrindavan, everything happens by mercy of Krishna in the form of Yogamaya. Automatically, they are not interested in the source. They are not interested how Krishna manages. Who is Krishna, they don't want to know also. Krishna is my friend, that's all. They are not worried about anything else. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He is the source of everything, and He is the all-merciful. Is His back strong enough that He can carry me? They are only interested in that. You follow? So, If they were interested in the source, if they were interested to know how good Krishna is, then there would be a mixture, Mishra. Then there would be a fall down. So they're not interested in falling down. Just try to understand how smart they are. Okay? Try to understand this point very clearly. Bhakti Charu Maharaj spent a lot of time making us understand how not to fall down. Because huge, wonderful sannyasis, big, big gurus have fallen down. And why they fall down is because they try to become too analytical. When you become too analytical, you think you are better than him. Mari gaya. Pati gayu. In Gujarati we say. When you think you are better than someone, you are in serious trouble. Because that is a seed planted of jealousy. Seed, I was much better than him. Why he should get this? I should be getting this. Even among sannyasis, I should be sitting in the first position. Why I have to sit on the floor? Why that idiot is sitting on the Vyasasana? I should be giving the class. I know much more than him. It happens like that. So this is the root cause of a fall down. Very often my very wonderful friend Mahaprabhu Das used to ask, not now, but in the old days, why are these devotees falling down? So the answer is, these devotees who try to use their khopadi too much, brains, try to analyze too much, that why this is happening, why that is not happening, why this is happening, why Krishna is not doing this. Arre Baba, karne do na Krishna ko kaam uska. Just leave Krishna alone. He will do it. Why you have to tell him, hey, do this or do that? You follow? Or why Krishna, you don't do this? Very often people ask, no, Bhagwan, mere ko ye sab taklif kyo diya? Arre yaar, tere achche ke liye diya. Think of that only. Isn't it? So many people, you see, all Hindi movies are full of that. So this is the language of the non-devotees. A pure devotee in Golok Vrindavan is not at all concerned. Don't want to mix up. Don't want to mix up pure devotional service with material questioning, material analysis. There is no high court Mahaprabhu Das there. There is only one court. Oh, that is Krishna's court. Okay. There's no lawyers, no judges there. Though Prabhupada used to often refer to lawyers and judges, but there is no need for that. Okay. Then the beauty is that in all these three rasas, there are three rasas in Golok Vrindavan, which are of importance. Sakya ras, and there is Vatsalya ras, and Madhurya ras. All three rasas have got interreaction with Krishna. Because Shantaras, as Brahma stated in one of his famous verses, that I would be happy to be just a blade of grass in Golok Vrindavan. So every lotus feet of all devotees would march over me. But then there is no relationship. Samband nahi hoga. See, we should have relationship with each other. Follow. So these three have got very strong relationship. Sakya ras, Vatsalya ras, and Madhurya ras. The second type of bliss, I said there are three varieties. So the second type of bliss, the lower one, next one lower, is in Mathura. And he gave a very beautiful example. He says, Golok Vrindavan is like the full moon on Sharad Purnima. And Mathura is just like one night prior to that. It's silver, but it's not that ripe golden moon which you see in Sharad Purnima. Sharad Purnima is like Golok Vrindavan, that full moon on Sharad Purnima. And on a regular full moon is silver, that is like Mathura. And Dwarka is like two nights before the full moon. That means one night before Mathura. Ever heard this example? So this was explained to us by Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So those who are interested in full moons, Mathura is fine, Dwarka is fine, but it's not quite the perfect one, you know, the top of the top. That is when we have that wonderful flower festival, no? Tons of flowers are Pushpa Abhishek. That is Golok Vrindavan. The third one means the next level of bliss. This is all bliss. It's all Satchitanand. But amongst bliss, there are these three qualities. First quality, Golok Vrindavan. Second quality, like Mathura. Now, the third one is like the citizens feel in Ayodhya and Dwarka. I already mentioned about Dwarka. What is that? They are in Ayodhya waiting 14 years for Lord Ram to come back to become their king. Now, in Golok Vrindavan, there is no need for anybody to be a king. Krishna is not a king there. He's just your friend, or he's just your son, or he's just your lover. You see, there's no need for a king there, because there is no need for policemen there. There's no need for any law and order situation problem there. See, so there are these three varieties of bliss. This lecture was so esoteric. I'll just read out my notes because. When Ram entered and took up the position of king, they all drank in the nectar of divine rus of being citizens of Ayodhya. And Ram as the king, at last, after 14 years of separation by Vanvas, then I forgot what he said. Also, when Swarup Damodar saw Lord Chaitanya come back to life after the fisherman who had caught Lord Chaitanya in the sea with his net, and thought the ghostly thing, you know. This is esoteric. Esoteric means it's very divine, this lecture that was there. There were few things which I think I must tell you, which I learned also for the first time. Radhanath Maharaj said that pain is more powerful than pleasure. Pain is more powerful than pleasure. Because pain lasts a long time. Pleasure lasts a very short time. So, this is one of his lectures was on why you want to extend your pain. Why do you want to be in a pain situation? Because it will last you a long time, that pain. For instance, you've been married for a long time, say 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and then there is separation or divorce or whatever it is. Then that pain can be a very painful situation. You follow? Or if you had a very bad disease or problem, and the treatment itself will take you years, so that's a painful experience. The pleasure is momentary, very short time. So similarly, separation is like a pain, and that takes a longer time. But Urdhamullabhadra Shakam 15.1, what we experience as pain in this world is truly speaking a reflection of the highest form of pleasure in the spiritual world. Is that clear now? Theek ho gaya? I'll just repeat in case you were sleeping. The pain of this, maximum pain of this material world, because that's a reflection, the lowest point, is the highest point in the spiritual world of pleasure. So, separation in the spiritual world itself leads to Radharani. Because she is the pleasure potency. She is Haladini Shakti herself. So, unless you get that pleasure potency of Radharani, you are not going to have continuous 24 hours, 365 days and a quarter, and millions of years of non-stop Anand. Because she only can deliver you this Anand, bliss. So we are coming to Radharani now. Radharani is the pleasure potency of the Lord, and Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to experience what Radharani experiences. Means himself has not experienced the type of experience Radharani had. And therefore, the second day, first day was on Prabhupada, second day was on Prabhupada, second day was on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, third day was on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Piety is a subtle wealth. Piety is a subtle wealth. Money in bank account is wealth, correct? Cash is wealth. Money in the bank in India or anywhere in the world, in the material world. But in the spiritual world, you also have wealth. But that is piety. So if you develop piety now for regulative principles, no illicit sex, etc., all these four regulative principles will give you piety, and that will give you your wealth in the spiritual world. So people in the spiritual world are measured by the wealth of piety, the currency of piety. Did anyone know this? This was something, few things, like, gems. I picked up these gems. Like, supposing you go to a big, jeweler shop, and he says outside, pick up whatever you want and walk out without payment. But of course, I had to pay $2,000, whatever it was. But what we learned in those 7 days, I'm trying to share with you all. Strength in the spiritual world is truth and humbleness combined. Here in this material world, strength is in going to a gym by developing muscles and all that sort of thing. But in the spiritual world, it's the truth and humbleness is the strength of the soul. So you must develop a strong soul, not a strong body. Because the strong body is going to die. So what is the use of having a strong body only? Okay, we want a good body. We don't want diseased body. We don't want problems. But we should now develop our strength because we have a long way to go to the spiritual world. So to develop strength, we must stick to the truth and humbleness at all times. In the spiritual world, dharma gives the artha, not the other way around. In this material world, it is money which gives you dharma. Go to any of these temples, there are 200 Brahmins will be waiting. Paisa de do, hum tumko Bhagwan de dega. You see, as if he is delivered like milk in a bottle. But anyway, so the strength is, in the spiritual world, is truth and humbleness. The dharma is the artha in the spiritual world. And whatever your desires, the desire tree, kalpataru, you are getting whatever you deserve or desire by that wealth. Just like you get anything here by paying money, you get what you want. There you get by your dharma. That means by doing your duty without any consideration here on this material world. Then, prem is the ultimate goal of life. Not only in this world, but even in the spiritual world. So, we have to know how to develop love, prem. And that can be given only by the person who has that availability. Just like you go to a cloth shop, you'll get cloth. You go to a restaurant like Govinda, you'll get food only. You're not going to get cloth there. So you have to go to Radharani to get the prem, love of God. Because she has got the availability. She has got the capacity to give you. I'm afraid I have way crossed the time. I've got pages and pages of notes. I don't know what to do now. Because I have only reached the first 3 days. That was halfway through. But I can already see that I have crossed my time. Are there any comments or any so far on this subject? We'll do this some other time, the rest of it. Hare Krishna. Because there are notes here. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Mahaprabhuji? Where is Anand Vrindavan Prabhu? He's not here. Acha. Jai Radhe Radhe. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Jai.